paid sin for us and died on that cross. Thank you for this season of the year in which we're in, where we can have our thoughts go back, especially in, as a nation, thinking about Good Friday, Passover Sunday, what happened on that cross and what happened in that tomb, what we have today as the inheritance because Jesus has paid the price and made it available for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that despising the shame, you took the cross for us this day. May your word have life to us as we listen to what Jesus said just before he died. Amen. With your Bibles open to John chapter 19, you can see with your eyes those words that Jesus spoke while he hung there on that cross. We come again today to Calvary, where our sorrows meet his joy. We come to Calvary where our darkness receives his light. We come to Calvary where our bitterness gets his sweetness. We come back to Calvary where God was at his best and man was at his worst. 6 hours Jesus was on that cross, people. 3 hours in the heat of the day. 3 hours in darkness. And then when the darkness broke away, then Jesus spoke this fifth word that we're going to read in just a few minutes. John 19, verse 28. We have seen he first spoke upon the cross the words, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Then he turned and said the second word that the Bible records his speaking to the men on either side of him. And he said to the repentant thief, "Today, just today, you'll be with me in paradise." And then the third word he spoke was to his beloved disciple and his mother. He said, "Mother, there's your son." And he said, "John, there's your mother." And then we notice the fourth word, when in the agony, when the sun chose not to shine, when it was just as dark as it could be for the next 3 hours, then he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me? Why did you forsake me, God?" And yet he knew he had to be. And now, at this time, this fifth word, John 19, verse 28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Why was he thirsty? He had gone through so much. The drawing of his blood away from his body created a thirst. He had gone through so much the night before in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had gone through two nights before. And then the night before that night of his crucifixion, he went through all of the agony. He went to Caiaphas. And there he was examined, he was condemned, he was sent to Pilate. He had a very lengthy trial there. After Pilate's lengthy trial, he was sent to Herod. There he was mocked, he was ridiculed. He was sent back to Pilate where he was whipped, where the thorns were placed upon his forehead. And then after a very long delay, he was given the cross and he was told to go, take it to the place of crucifixion, Golgotha, meaning the place of the skull. So all the things that he went through, people, created in him this thirst. His body went through a lot. Now, all of us have said, "I'm thirsty." And the chances are you weren't thirsty at all, but you just thirsty. Some of you have been in places where you were indeed thirsty due to the desert heat or some circumstance. Maybe you were ill and you said, "I'm thirsty." But that can in no way at all compare to what Jesus went through when he cried out, "I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty, I thirst, I thirst." You see, in Psalm 42, if you want to turn there, you can. Psalm 42, verse 2. All of this has been planned. God's got a plan for everything. Psalm 42, verse 2, it says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God. Now, he had just been abandoned by God, just been forsaken. And so this scripture says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and appear before him? In just a moment, upon that cross, that time will come. And so in fulfilling prophecy, he was very, very thirsty. This proves, people, that Jesus was human. Oh, some people say, well, God was God on that cross, and he didn't feel the spikes, he didn't feel the whip, he didn't feel the thorns, because he was God. But people, he was God-man, and in his humanity, he felt it all. He felt it all for me and for you. And it shows the human side of Jesus. It shows that while he was on the cross, he did get thirsty. And did you know that they gave him two drinks upon the cross? They offered him two drinks upon the cross. If you want to turn to the first one, it's in Matthew 27. And we read here in Matthew 27, verse 33 and verse 34. They came to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. And they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. This was the first drink that they offered him. Why would they give him this vinegar wine mingled with gall? Because the pain was so excruciating, they wanted to have some sympathy toward those dying people who were crucified, and it was a common practice. I'll give you something to drink. It deadened the senses. It deadened the senses. So when the person was crucified, whether their hands were just tied on the beam or whether the nails did go through this part of their wrist to support the body, and what all they went through prior to that time, because of the humanity's crying out for help, there were those who said, I'll help you out, I'll give you a sedative. And so the cheap vinegar wine, which the soldiers had there at the cross, had mixed in it this gall, wormwood, bitterness, which would help sedate him. And so they offered him this drink. And it says here in Matthew 27, 33, they gave him this vinegar to drink, this vinegar wine to drink, mingled with gall. But the moment it touched his lips, he said, no way. No way am I going to take an aspirin. No way am I going to take a codeine. No way am I going to take anything that would deaden my senses. I've got to feel this entire pain. And he said, no, I don't want it. Because you see, he had to pay a price that was not tainted with that which would help relieve the humanity side of Jesus. No, he felt this. He felt it. This was the first drink that he was offered. And then if you'll notice in John 19, the scripture that we had turned to for our text, John 19, verse 29, it says, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, or in some translations, wine vinegar, and they filled a sponge with this vinegar, and they put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And the next verse says, when Jesus had received this, then he spoke his next word, which we'll look at the next time we come together. But he did take this drink. He took the second drink because something had transpired between the time he was offered the first drink and now. God had forsaken him. And so they offered him this wine. What they did, they took a stick and they stuck a little sponge on it because the sponge would soak up the vinegar, and they put it in the bowl and they lifted it up to him. And the cross wasn't very high, people. If you have the idea that you had to stop and look way up at the cross, it wasn't very high. His feet maybe had just been like 3 feet off the ground, perhaps. So he wasn't up very high, and a very short stick would reach to his mouth very easily. And he took this, the second drink. Now, with these drinks offered him, I noticed in Psalm 69, verse 21, very interesting sentence. It says in Psalm 69, verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. David writes these words prophetically years and years and years before it happened. And it was fulfilled. The prophecy was fulfilled because there on the cross, Jesus was given vinegar to drink, just like in Psalm 69, verse 21, it said it would be. There on the cross, the heat of the day was softened by the clouds and the darkness, and then with all of the pain that he felt in his body, he cried out, "I thirst, I thirst." He was given this drink. But the scripture says in John 19 that he did this knowingly, and it's an interesting word, because it says in chapter 19, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he had paid the price. The lamb that was with no blemish was slain upon the altar of that cross. Now something very important happens. Knowing that it had happened, the knowing word is not experimentally, but it's intuitive. He knew that the price had been paid. And now, for all eternity, people could go to the cross and they could accept the price, that they could accept the salvation that was made to him. So there we see Jesus on the cross with this fifth word, and he just said, "I thirst." He said, "I thirst. I thirst. I thirst." The divine side, a man who ruled with angels before the foundations of the world. Now we have the human side, a man who is dying after a life lived where he talked, where he laughed, and where he wept. He said, "I thirst." But you know, people, in the Revelation chapter 7 and in verse 16, it says, Revelation 7:16, there's going to come a time when you will thirst no more. There will come a time when you will thirst no more. Now, Jesus went through a lot on that cross so that we wouldn't have to go through it. And another reason why he went through that is so that he could feel the pain and bear the grief and the suffering for us. And that is why God asked us to go through circumstances so we can bear it for somebody else. I read the story of two ladies who were in a church, both had babies, and the first lady's baby died, and it was very tragic. And she sort of bore that grief alone. Oh, the church ministered to her and helped her out, but still it was very, very, very bad. Her friend, who also had a baby, lost that baby. And because the first lady had gone through the grief, she was able then to go with compassion, with love, and she was able to talk to her friend who had lost her baby. And the second lady received so much that the first lady didn't receive and wouldn't have received had the first lady not gone through that. People, that's why we go through these circumstances, so that we can, when we see somebody in grief or pain, we can go to them and put our arm around them. We can say, "Hey, Jesus loves you." But we can't do that very effectively if we don't first know it. And unless we have felt this, we can't transmit it to somebody else. That's why God is wanting our heart changed and clean, so that we can put our arms around King City and we can say, "Hey, this is how it really is." Last week I went to Margaret Roney's mother's house just within minutes after her brother died. And I didn't know at the time that her mother did not speak English. But the Lord allowed me to feel so much for her that I just put my arm around her and didn't say one word. But the tears spoke that word. And then when I did speak, I realized she couldn't even understand my English. And it was okay, because she could understand the heart. And God is wanting our heart to show and let people feel that we have a heart. And this is why Jesus died of a broken heart, so that we could share this message that he is life, he's life. But here's the point. We will not have life from Jesus until we thirst for him. Now, the scripture said that he thirsts. There is the other side to this. That is, I thirst. There is me, I thirst. And there is the person who would thirst for the world and for the things of the world. And there's another person who would search out because of his thirst for Jesus. And you don't need me to tell you, but I have to tell you, that if you drink of Jesus, it's going to be satisfying. And if you drink of the world, it's going to not last very long. It's like drinking a soda. After you drink it, with all that sugar, you're going to want a glass of water, or you're going to want something to satisfy your thirst. Jesus said, "I thirst." And we today are crying out, supposedly, hopefully, I'm thirsty. Give me something to drink. And God made us so that this world will not quench your thirst. Well, maybe for a moment. But the world will not quench your thirst. Only Jesus can quench your thirst. And that's why he said, I am the water of life. I'm the water of life. Praise God. Do you remember that time when he came into that town, sat down by the well? His disciples went to get some food and something to eat. And Jesus met the Samaritan woman. And he gave her life. He talked about drinking from the water of well. The lady was thirsty, and he gave her. He said, you know, if you drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. She said, yes, that's certainly true. I make this trip twice a day. She might have said. But he said, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. And she said, boy, that's a deal. That's a deal I can't pass up. Tell me where I can get this water so I won't have to make the trips. And he was speaking spiritually. He said, if you drink of the water that comes from me, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. When she had that encounter, I believe that her heart was changed. She went into the city, and then she came back with the multitudes. The disciples, in the meantime, came back, and they said this, you want something to eat now, Jesus? Something to eat and drink? And he said, no. And they turned to themselves, and the scripture says, did somebody beat us to him? Where did he get something to eat? Something to drink? We weren't even here. But you see, what he ate and drank was the fulfillment of giving himself to somebody who had a need. And that does fill you up. But there was a man in hell who also got thirsty, and he said, boy, I just wish that I had a drop of water, just a drop, to put on the tip of my tongue. You can't have it. There's a gulf fixed between us. This man could receive no relief. And all he asked for was just a drop of water. People, we are asking today for a drop of water when God's got his buckets of love, of water, liquid refreshment. He just got it all for us. Yes, he on that cross cried out, I'm thirsty. But people, we've got to cry out too and say, I'm thirsty. I'm tired of drinking of this water of the world. I'm tired of what the world can give me in temporary satisfaction. Jesus, I thirst for you. Come and feed me till I want no more. Come, let me drink of you so I will thirst no more. Now and in that place in heaven where it says it is a land where people will never get thirsty again. Father God, I praise you for Jesus, who not only is the light of the world, but he is that sparkling, pure, and I mean pure water of refreshment to all who would just pause and take from him. God, we have been drinking from this world's water so long. May we have created in our hearts this desire for your brand of water. Your brand, Jesus. You who made water gush from a rock in the wilderness. You who turned water into wine. Can quench my thirst. We don't need creeds. We don't need forms. We need the person, Jesus, for he alone can satisfy. He alone can satisfy. Thank you for telling us this day that our needs are met in you. Thank you for reminding us again, come, children, and I'll give. Yes, there are times when there are ifs. I praise you, God, for the cross. While the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, it is to us who believe the power of salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that we're in your family. Now help us get together better to minister the water of life to this city who is drying up in a drought. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me?